ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Text number 7. This chapter is entitled as Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees. Yadi, yadi dasyasi me kama, varamstvam varadarshabaha, kamanamridi asmroham, Bhavatastu Vrinevara. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you are at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your Lordship that within the core of my heart there may be no material desires. Purport. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to pray for benedictions from the Lord. He said, Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmani shvare bhavatad bhaktir ahitukitvai. O my Lord, I do not want from you any amount of wealth, nor many followers, nor a beautiful wife, for these are all materialistic desires. But I have to ask you for any benediction. I pray that in whatever forms of life I may take birth, under any circumstances, I will not be bereft of your transcendental devotional service. Devotees are always on the positive platform, in contrast to the Mayavadis, who want to make everything impersonal or void. One cannot remain void, Shunyavadi. Rather, one must possess something. Therefore, the devotee on the positive side want to possess something, and this possession is very nicely described by Prahlad Maharaj, who says, if I must take some benediction from you, I pray that within the core of my heart there may be no material desires. The desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not at all material. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. This is a very exalted verse to speak on. And Prahlad Maharaj is the only one who could actually ask for such a benediction. And we are nobody to elaborate on this verse. But since it is a verse that has come on this day, so we are forced to speak. So you bless me that I can speak something on the concept presented by Sri Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Narsingdev. The background is Lord Narsingdev has appeared. Prahlad Maharaj did not pray for his protection. But Lord Narsingdev was more than eager to protect his devotee. He was always protecting. But now he wanted to give a physical protection to Prahlad. Therefore he came down. And he destroyed Hiranyakashipu. And Prahlad Maharaj was waiting there, being absorbed in the transcendental anger of Lord Narsingdev. Even though most of the demigods were fearful, including Mother Lakshmi. And they tried to pacify the Lord, reminding him about his anger. Lord Shiva said, Kopakala Yugante. He said, my Lord, you exhibit this great kopa, anger, at the time of annihilation, and I represent your anger. So basically, you are saying you don't exhibit your anger. And this comes during the time of annihilation. And different demigods, Indra also prayed, my Lord, please. Now you are so fortunate that this person had occupied our heart, Hiranyakashipu, you should be occupying our heart, but because of the fear, fear of Hiranyakashipu removed you from our heart. Just see that when there is a fearful situation, we may pray to Krishna, but apparently the greatest prayer that Krishna should settle within our heart. In the Bhagavatam, in the 9th canto, when Lord Ramchandra was going back to the spiritual world, Sukadeva Goswami explains that what benediction Lord Ramchandra gave to his people. He was going back to the spiritual world, but he placed his lotus feet, which were traveling around the forest of Dandakaranya, being pierced by the thorns and the pebbles. He says those two lotus feet Lord Ramchandra placed in the heart of his devotee. That is the greatest benediction. But here Indra said that the fear of Hiranyakashipu removed you from our heart. And we see even very peaceful devotees become disturbed when there is a fearful situation. In fact, this is the greatest attack of Maya. The attack of terrorist looks so real, but from the spiritual point of view, from the reality point of view, from the real reality point of view, from the Bhagavad's first verse, the real substance, Sattvam, from that point of view, it's such a flitting and no real at all. But still, because it is so real from a material point of view, it has the power to disturb our Krishna consciousness more than any powerful material temptation. Because in a powerful material temptation, one will pray to Krishna, Krishna fulfill this. But in this condition, one becomes a powerful controller to eliminate everybody. One is responsible for such terrorist act. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, we see how and why he could pray like this. As I said, Indra also prayed. And eventually, nobody could pacify, including Lakshmi and Lord Brahma. He said, my dear Prahlad, you are responsible for Lord's appearance in this form. We have never experienced. Lakshmi also said, I have never seen such a form. You are responsible. Therefore, you go and pacify Lord. And the whole scene, if we are fortunate to see how Prahlad approached Lord Narasingdev. Of course, Sukadeva Goswami, Srila Prabhupada in their purports actually give us the vision. We can actually see and experience within our heart the disposition of Prahlad. So gentle, fearless, not proud for receiving special mercy. Just imagine, Lord has appeared for him, and if you have some pride, and if Lord appears, it simply increases your false pride. Because you become a chosen people. In the name of chosen people, just see, so much of violence is there among the religious people. Why? Because the contamination is there. And Prahlad Maharaj had any pride, he could have created greatest violence, saying that I am the greatest devotee of the Lord. But he approaches Lord Narasingdev with such a humility. Seeing, he says, who am I? He said, all these demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Brahmadayo Suragana. He said, all these great demigods are here. If they cannot satisfy you, what is my position, my Lord? And what is my background? I am born in an Asura family, and the Asuric blood flows in my body. So what good can you expect from me? But because I had heard previously Gajayutapaya, the great elephant who is ignorant from outside and ignorant from inside, was able to satisfy you. So therefore, my Lord, I will also offer my prayers. Knowing well that I am not qualified, knowing well what is the background, but because somebody who was an elephant had offered these prayers, I will also offer you prayers. And Prahlad Maharaj had the power to pacify Lord Narasingh with his prayers.
And seeing Prahlada's prayers, Lord Narsingdev is asking for, ask any benediction from you. Just see, when somebody goes to Krishna asking for material benediction, Krishna condemns. Like yesterday, Gaur Gopalpa was mentioning that if my devotees come to me asking, Krishna says, Kiba Amrita Chadiya, he says, why should he give up nectar and ask for, you know, stupid things? He said, I will never give them stupid things. I'll only give them Swacharanamrita Piyava. He said, I'll only feed them the nectar from my lotus feet. Now here Prahlad Maharaj offered his prayers, you know, speaking with a different emotions as a pure devotee, as a conditioned soul, as a preacher, as a practitioner. In his prayers, he puts, as they say in the management language, wearing different caps. But it was different emotions of Prahlad Maharaj. He presents everything to Lord Narsingadev. And seeing Prahlad's purity, knowing very well that Prahlad doesn't want anything, it is not that Krishna is testing Prahlad. Let me try testing Prahlad, asking him for some material benediction. Do you want something? Krishna doesn't lack trust in his devotees. Krishna has unlimited trust in his devotees. Therefore, he is not like a teacher who always wants a unit test. Test his student. How much is he doing well? That means he lacks the trust in his student. If there is a trust in his student, then there is no need of test. So here, Lord Narsingdev was not having a unit test of Prahlad Maharaj. First throwing from the mountain cliff, feeding poison, and then trampling upon the wild elephants, then eventually feeding poison, putting him in the fire, and then, you know, letting it happen and making him wait for a long time without appearing. Lord was not testing. He had complete trust in Prahlad Maharaj's determination to practice devotional service. Krishna is not a master who puts his devotees in a difficult test and watching. Let me see how he fails. Sometimes we find as examiners, they take pleasure in seeing, you know, panic in the heart of their students. I have confused them so nicely, and they're sitting like Yamadut and watching how my students are, and if they're really young children, they want them to pass urine in their, you know, that's, sometimes it happens. But Krishna is not like that. The Lord becomes so much absorbed in his devotee's devotion, he forgets that he is not supposed to give any benediction. He said, ask anything. Ask anything you want. And whatever devotee asks, if Prahlad would have asked Lord Narsingdev, you know, I want hundreds of material sense gratification, Krishna would have not said, oh Krishna, what did I? He would not say, oh Krishna. Krishna would have said, take it. He would not say, what a nonsense he is asking. I made a mistake of giving benediction to him. Krishna would have given benediction to Prahlad Maharaj. Why? Because Krishna had complete trust in Prahlad. Whatever he asks is not contaminated desire. Of course, Prahlad, as a trust of Lord is there, he continues to win the confidence of the Lord, and he speaks this verse. Such a powerful verse. On the other hand, almost same verse is spoken by his father also. Hiranyakashipu in the 7th canto, in the 3rd chapter, he says, Yadi dasyasi abhimatan. He said, my Lord, if you want to offer something, he says, my Lord only, varan me varadottama. Here is varadarshaba and varadottama. No difference. But the next two line changes. He says, bhutyabhyastvad vrishtabhyo mrityur mabhun mam prabhu. He said, my Lord, Lord Brahma, the best of the benedictors, if you want to offer, not if you want to, offer the benediction. Not that he's asking question. Offer this benediction that whatever living entities you have created, none of these living entities should be responsible for my death. And Prabhupada writes, basically he said, make me immortal. And then he speaks very clearly, not from any living entities which you have created. Animals, aquatics, up in the sky, in the earth, in the water, inside, outside, daytime, nighttime. He said, there should be no time anybody can kill me. Nobody should kill me. But here Prahlad Maharaj could have asked, Brahmaji, how much can you offer? And here Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, with full disposition to give whatever Prahlad asks, he is standing there to give. And the previous verses, Prahlad Maharaj almost like chastises Lord Narasingdev. He said, what kind of Lord are you? You know, there is no relationship between me and you other than the relationship of master and servant. That never changes. He said, how can you ask me to ask such benediction? It is not possible. I cannot. And then Prahlad Maharaj, acting as a real devotee of the Lord, he says, my Lord, please remove all material desires from my heart. That's the only benediction I seek from you. And Prabhupada gives a brilliant purport comparing devotees to Mayavadis. Mayavadis want to do everything zero, but the devotees, no, they are positively engaged in Krishna service. They don't want material desire. That is a positive desire. Not wanting material desire means wanting desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, why people go and ask from the demigods or God for benediction? Asking benediction is caused because certain situation. Sometimes the senses, or most of the time the senses, when they interact with the sense object, you don't aspire, but when the senses interact with the sense object, immediately the desire develops. And you know very well that this desire cannot be fulfilled by my own endeavor. We approach God. Krishna, please fulfill this desire. So most of our desire to ask for benediction is caused because of our circumstance only, our situation. A poor man asking for wealth is what? Is a situation. His poverty is causing him to ask for that benediction. A rich man asking for peace and actual happiness is caused because he is troubled by the wealth. A man who is suffering in the house because of his bad relatives, asking freedom from such relative is a benediction caused because of the situation. Therefore, desire to ask for benediction in itself has no solid foundation. It is caused because of your situation or my situation. And therefore, it is fleeting. And Prahlad Maharaj's situation was so steady in all situations. If you read Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj's pastime, we don't find any time Prahlad asking for any kind of benediction. Freedom from the greatest terrorist, Hiranyakashipu, we never asked. He continued to practice his devotional service steadily. He continued to preach devotional service to his friends. And he continued to execute his devotional service in all situations. And therefore, when Lord Narasingdev came, he had the same situation. So therefore, it was quite easy for Prahlad to say, I don't want any benediction. Just remove all material desires within my heart. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj also in the first canto, I was thinking, you know, there are many people in this world, they fall into one of these categories. One benediction they ask for no reason, destruction of others. They pray. There are prayers in the Vedas that let my enemy be destroyed. Who made enemy? It is my perception that he's an enemy. And sometimes even a practicing devotee also, when he is not treated by other devotees properly in certain situation, and when that devotee has a difficulty, they say, because he did not treat me, therefore he is going through this difficulty. That is a sheer arrogance. To say and to feel, sometimes it happens in management, you know, some manager doesn't treat a devotee properly for whatever reason, a good reason or a bad reason, and when that manager has a difficulty, we have heard devotees say this, that he is going through because he did not treat me properly. As if he is a very pure devotee and Krishna is personally interfering and giving punishment to that devotee. Even that is true, but how can a practicing sane devotee ever feel that that person should suffer like that? Feeling like that he should suffer because he caused trouble to me is not sign of a Vaishnava. That's a typical materialistic person who is thinking about revenge and reactions. When Haridas Thakur, when he saw that Lord Vishnu is going to blast and chastise these executors, they were hitting Haridas Thakur in 21 marketplaces. And when he saw that Lord Vishnu coming with his chakra wanting to destroy them, that was causing more pain to Haridas Thakur. It's a natural to think, yes, my Lord, now you have come, destroy them. That is a typical material tendency. So therefore, Lord Vishnu did not kill the aggressors of Haridas Thakur, knowing very well that that will cause more pain to Haridas Thakur. He did not do anything. Only when Haridas Thakur disappeared from that side, then Lord took the revenge. Because Krishna is a very sensitive person. He actually destroyed the entire village and Haridas Thakur could never come to know. Because if he had come to know, he would have experienced greater pain than actually what he was getting. That is Vaishnava principle. Like in the Mahabharata, we see Duryodhan was such a character. Without having any reason, he was only thinking about destructions of the Pandavas. When Pandavas were in Dvaitavan, worshipping the Lord, performing the charitable activities with whatever facility they had. Twice this happened. One time, Duryodhan went along with his friends, his best friends, loyal friends, headed by Karna, Shakuni and Dushyasan. They went there just to show the Pandavas how much we are enjoying and you are suffering. More than wanting to show them their enjoyment, he wanted to see their suffering and take pleasure. If he really wanted to enjoy, he had all the facilities to enjoy, but he thought that my enjoyment will increase if I see the suffering of the Pandavas. Just see what kind of mentality one can possess. One can actually develop such mentality. It is not that only Duryodhan. It can happen to anybody, everybody. We have gone through this. And everybody supported him, including his father, Dhritarashtra. Kind of opposed, but he agreed. They went for this Ghosh Yatra in the form of counting all the cows in the cow shed. Went to see the suffering. But because the Pandavas were always protected by the higher powers, rather than seeing their suffering, Duryodhan was saved by the suffering, by Yudhishthira Maharaj. And that caused greater suffering to Duryodhan. That I am being protected by my enemy and he wanted to give up his life. Another time Durvas Muni came to Duryodhan and Duryodhan had the ability to please others. Just imagine, Durvas Muni is the most difficult guest to serve. If you interact with Durvas Muni, he comes to your home and if you have to serve him even for 3 minutes, at least one curse you have to receive. It is guaranteed. All the historical figures show that he cursed so many people. But he stayed in Duryodhana's house and Duryodhana was successful in pleasing Durvas Muni. That means Duryodhana had the ability to please others. He could have become a great devotee. He pleased Durvas Muni. Durvas Muni said, ask any benediction. And what did Duryodhana say? My dear master, go to Pandavas. He knew what time to go, what time to send him. He said, go at this time when Draupadi had already eaten from the Akshay Patra. And Durvasmani goes there. You know, because he's the expansion of Lord Shiva. No, just Bholenath. Without realizing what this means. He goes there when Draupadi has already eaten from the Akshayapatra. What does it mean? That Duryodhan wanted Pandavas to be cursed by Durvasmani. And he would take pleasure in that. And it's almost happened. Durvasmani went there. Draupadi had already eaten from that Akshayapatra. There was nothing. And Durvasmani went with his 60,000 disciples. He said, feed me lunch. This is the problem with sadhus. Going anytime, you know, calling. Can I have prasadam for 50 people? So Durvasmani went with his 60,000 disciples in the forest. He should have known very well. Sensitivity means to know what is the difficulty of others in providing facility for others. But Durvasmani was in no mood to understand this event and said, feed 60,000 disciples. And Draupadi couldn't say anything, that there is nothing to feed you. And Yudhishthira Maharaj on the top, he said, you come, you take bath and come back, then the prasad will be ready. And then there was nothing to offer. And Duryodhana was very happy that now Pandavas will be destroyed. Durvas will curse them. But they were protected by Krishna. Krishna came, took one grain of rice, leftover grain. He took that, completely satisfied. Durvasmuni and his people were belching in the water. You know, Mahasankirtan. And their belly was so full. And they couldn't think of going back to the Pandavas. And Bhima was sent. Krishna said, go. Bhima, go and call. And Yudhishthira Maharaj said, but my lord, there is nothing to offer. He said, no, send Bhima. And Bhima, you know, he was a blind follower of Krishna. He went holding his gada and started calling, hey Durvas, please, the prasadam is ready. And actually Mahabharat says, Durvasmani remembered the Ambarishud incident. He said, I offended one Vaishnava, there are 8 Vaishnavas now. I don't want to take a risk. From that side only, without collecting his clothes, of course he would not wear any clothes most of the time. All of them on from the other side of the river only, they escaped, remembering Ambarish's effect on him. He never came back. So Duryodhana's desire did not fulfill. So destroying others' benediction, that is what one asks from the Lord or his devotees. That destroy them. And Duryodhana is like that. And then wanting better benediction than others. Again, Duryodhana is the best example because he is a personification of Kali. Mahabharata says, who is Duryodhana? Duryodhana is Kali personified. The physical body of Duryodhana is finished. But the mentality of Duryodhana is simply expanding. He is still living within our heart. Whenever we have a non-devotional principle, Duryodhana becomes very powerful. So therefore, when Pandavas performed this Rajasuya sacrifice, Duryodhana saw and he was given the service of collecting all the gifts. Krishna, you know, he cultured everybody's qualities according to their nature. If you are envious, Krishna puts us in that situation to culture more envy. You can't blame Krishna. You may say, why? Why should he put me in that situation? One who is difficult, one who has a difficulty in controlling his senses, Krishna puts such a person in a situation where controlling of the senses becomes more difficult. Why? Because he doesn't even try to overcome the difficulties of controlling the senses. So Duryodhana had this bad quality of envy and he wanted to culture it. And Krishna put him in the right place where he could culture his envy by collecting all the gifts. And Karna was given the facility to give charity. Now one may say, people say, oh, because you are such a charitable, only he could give free hand. But the Vaishnavas say to increase his pride. He was proud being a great charitable person. Okay, you give money, you give everybody. So that his pride increases. Even sometime good quality is a greater contamination. We want to be pure so that others should know that I am pure. That's a contamination. We want to be pure because we want to be powerful. So the desire to become pure has an inherently impure desire. Therefore, simply becoming a pure has no value other than inherent desire to become a devotee of Krishna is not there. So Duryodhan, seeing all that gift coming to Pandavas, everybody, including Shishupal, was giving the gift. Jarasandha's son also, they had to give by force. And he was collecting all those gifts, and those gifts were all the property of Yudhishthira Maharaj. You can imagine he was burning with envy. So sleepless nights is not a modern disease. The origin of that disease was Duryodhan and his father Dhritarashtra. And therefore, Vidura asked that question. When Dhritarashtra said, I am not able to sleep, he said, how can you sleep? He said, you have put fire to others' property, you have fed poison to others, you have kidnapped others' wealth, you tried to arson others' property and kill them. He said, how can you sleep? It is not possible for you to sleep. So Duryodhan had a sleepless night. And therefore he also had a brahmanas to help him to continue to maintain his impurity in the name of helping him to perform certain sacrifices also. Just see, that looks like spiritual, looks like ritualistic activities which are favoring you to advance material and spiritually. But those who are supporting such sacrifices, no, they themselves are not pure. Like one devotee was saying, there is one political leader. In his house, there are more than 20-30 brahmanas sitting every day performing yajna. And what is the purpose of yajna? The purpose of yajna is to see that all his foes, all his enemies do not flourish over him. They always remain his subordinates. But he's an atheistic. He doesn't come to any temples. He doesn't worship God. But he has brahmanas performing this yajnas so that his enemies could be destroyed. So Duryodhan was told by his brahman fellows, the priest, he said, you perform Vaishnav yajna. Now Rajasu yajna better or Vaishnav yajna is better? At least by name, Vaishnav yajna is better than Rajasu yajna. And Duryodhan performed that yajna only with the intention of getting better benediction than Yudhishthira Maharaj. And the brahmanas told him, perform this Vaishnava yajna. And he did that. So therefore, wanting to have a better benediction than others, another natural quality, like the previous quality, destroying others' benediction. Very interesting point about Shishupal. When the Rajasuya sacrifice was taking place, all other activities were over. Then Bhishma told, now you have to decide the object of Agra Puja, the first worship. And some say it was Yudhishthira who decided, some say Bhishma, and some say Sahadev. Doesn't matter, their opinion are all same. So Sahadev stood up and he spoke that there is no question that who should be worshipped. In fact, the whole purpose of this sacrifice is to worship Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna. Therefore, we want to offer worship to Krishna. And Krishna was called inside. You know, some commentators say that Krishna was still outside, waiting for the last saints to come. Some saints were coming late. And he was waiting for them to come inside because he had taken the service of washing their feet, the Lord personally. So he was going back and forth. He was not fully involved in the sacrifice, even though the object of that sacrifice to please Lord Vishnu, but he was waiting outside. Sometimes we have devotees doing the service in the shoe stall for 15 years, 20 years. They are just doing that service only. Like I met one devotee in Thane, or Radha Damodar Prabhu also, doing that service for so many years for festival. So this devotee for last 12 years, he is there in the shoe stall only, missing all the festivals, only hearing. So Krishna was outside the sacrificial arena and he would come inside, but he would be in anxiety, maybe some saints are there, and he would go out. So Krishna was told by Yudhishthira Maharaj, my dear Lord, now you have washed everybody's feet. Now actually it is your turn to receive the sanctified water to put in your feet. So please come in. Now Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, why Shishupal did not immediately start screaming and saying that Krishna is not proper person to be worshipped? He did not say that. Agra Puja was done, all the mantras were chanted, Krishna was worshipped, the water was poured on his feet, all the water was sprinkled to all the assembled people. Some water must have fallen on Shishupal also, unless he avoided by some means. Because he was thinking, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, he was thinking, if I stop in the middle, if I argue, and nobody can defeat me in argument, when I present my argument, it is but natural that everybody will agree to my argument. Bhishma, Bhima, Sahadeva, everybody will say, yeah, right, right. What Shishupal is saying, right? Therefore, we will stop worshipping this coward, Krishna, and they will choose someone who is more qualified. In this way, Yajna will be successful. I don't want Yajna to be successful. Just see. So therefore he waited Krishna to be worshipped. And immediately after Krishna being worshipped, he stood. And he walked on the dais. Nobody called him. It's like somebody coming out, you know, and saying that I want to give a Bhagavatam class. When all the sannyasis are sitting. And he said, I want to give a class. So similarly, Shishupal came. And he stood on a high dais. And then he started speaking, condemning Bhishma, condemning Sahadeva, condemning Pandavas, and addressing all the kings. And then eventually started blasting Krishna. Thinking very happy, he was feeling very happy, Yajna will be destroyed, and I will expose Krishna as not a great personality. There are so many other great personalities. And in this we want to do is destroy the Yajna. But Krishna, knowing very well the mentality of Shishupal, you know, he stood there. Bhima said, you know, Bhima's anger is exhibited in the Mahabharata. He says, I'll break his skull with my fist and make holes on his tongue. Bhima was so angry and upset. But Bhishma said, don't worry, he said, you know, that's his nature. His tongue is there. Already so many holes are there, blaspheming Krishna. And Bhishma said, my dear Shishupal, if I talk about you, if I tell about your birth, you lose all respect whatever you have. You have no respect, but still it will increase more defamation. And what to speak of speaking about your desire to marry Rukmini? He said, better I don't speak. So therefore, shut your mouth and keep quiet. And he glorified Krishna, spoke about Krishna's great incarnations, different incarnations. And even after hearing all the incarnations of the Lord, Shishupal was not transformed. It is not that, okay, I agree. I book for an advanced Bhagavad Gita course. He did not do that. Rather, he condemns Krishna. He said, what? He said, just because he lifted some stack of clay, he calls Govardhan Parvat, Mahabharata says, he calls Govardhan Parvat nothing but a stack of clay, an anthill. He said, just because he lifted some anthill, I should take him seriously? What is this birds and animals, bull? He said, Krishna is the killer of woman, Krishna is the killer of cow, therefore is not part of the Vedic culture. In this way, Shishupal condemned and Krishna was listening. Bhishma was trying to pacify him, but he was not pacified. And Krishna lifted his Sudarshan Chakra. He is dying, but at least he was happy that, okay, now when I die, everybody started feeling, what kind of muhurta is this? That this sacrifice will be contaminated by the blood. You have to purify the place. You can't afford to have any blood on the arena of the fire sacrifice. But Krishna is going to cut the head of Shishupal. And naturally that will cause inauspiciousness. And people are thinking, what kind of muhurta is this? What kind of muhurta Vyasdev decided? And somebody says, when you have to perform surgery, when there is an emergency surgery, you don't look for a muhurta. You perform the surgery. So Krishna is going to perform this surgery. And then Krishna performed the surgery, cut off the head of Shishupal, and surprisingly not even one blood fell on the ground. Not even one drop of blood fell. Why? Because Krishna maintained the purity of the sacrifice and at the same time performed this surgery of Shishupal. And he sent him back to the spiritual world. Even though his desire was to destroy the yajna, but in that yajna, even Shishupal got the benefit of liberation. And then, wanting benedictions, as we discuss, the senses force us to, when we interact with the sense objects, it develops desires. Actually, you contemplate and you analyze, however many desires we come across in our life, they are all caused because of the interaction of the senses with the sense object. Or the situation. Rich, poor, black, white, short, tall. You know, somebody is very tall. He is praying, Krishna, make me short. And somebody is short. You know, along with doing all kinds of exercise, he is also offering prayers. That means we come to God and this name of Krishna makes us very hopeful. Varadarshava, Varadaraj. Krishna in Kanchi known as Varadaraj. Siddhi Vinayak. This names actually fascinates that they are there to fulfill our desires. And there is no limit to benedictions we can ask from the Lord. There is no limit. Dhruva Maharaj very beautifully says when he was given benediction by Lord Vishnu, he actually condemns. He said, why did I come here? I only came because I was angry with my stepbrother Uttama. I was angry with my stepmother Suruchi. Therefore, I came here asking for material benediction. It is certainly the demigods have contaminated my intelligence. How could I ask for such benediction? And Narad Muni came to save for me. He came there to save my situation by preaching to me Krishna consciousness, but I did not accept. Why? Because the demigods contaminated my intelligence. So actually it is nothing but situation, and situation do change. And therefore Prahlad Maharaj did not ask for any benediction. And the next category is that he doesn't ask any benediction. Nothing. Even if the Lord comes, Jada Bharat and other great personalities, they would not ask any benediction for themselves. And the best one is not asking benediction for yourself as Prahlad Maharaj did here. He said, my Lord, don't give me any benediction. Just remove all the material desires. But Prahlad Maharaj does ask benediction from Lord Narasingdev. When Lord Narasingdev want to give him benediction, Prahlad Maharaj said, my Lord, if you want to give any benediction to me, if you are so forceful wanting to give benediction, then please give me this benediction that let my father be excused. Please forgive my father. That is what Prahlad Maharaj asked. And that is what Dhruva Maharaj also asked. He said, my dear Lord, if you want to give benediction, if you are taking me back to the spiritual world, see that my mother is going. And mother is going, stepmother is also going. And Dhruva Maharaj is most happy. And that is Krishna consciousness. As Prahlad Maharaj is preaching here, asking no benediction, but asking benediction for his father who tormented him so much. He was the most abused child which we could ever imagine. What kind of abuse? But he never maintained any ill feeling towards his father. Rather, Prahlad Maharaj caused that my father was very affectionate. He actually exhibited affection to Prahlad. When Prahlad Maharaj brought in the assembly where Hiranyakashipu asked him, my dear child, you know, can you say what you learned? And Bhagavata explains that Hiranyakashipu smelled the head of Prahlad and he had a tears in his eyes. And Prahlad must have remembered that. That my father had the affection, but because his perception of me being right or wrong were different, therefore his anger was based upon the situation. So Prahlad Maharaj could excuse it and he could say, my Lord, please, I am willing to excuse, not only excuse, that if you want to offer any benediction, please offer this benediction to my father, that you please excuse him. And Lord Narasingdev said, what to speak of excusing him? Because after all, Lord Narsingdev did not forget Hiranyakashipu. Because who is Hiranyakashipu? Hiranyakashipu is eternal associate, Jai. He said, what to speak of your father? He said, 21 generation, as Radhananda Maharaj is explaining in his last class, one of the last classes, that 21 generation will be delivered. And what to speak of 21 generation of human being? Any life they had taken in any species, even that family will be liberated. That is the power of devotional service. A devotional service, when we come to this stage of life, asking no benediction for us, and what to speak of taking pleasure in seeing others suffer. When we give up this, and that is the benchmark. That is the benchmark that I have become a devotee. Otherwise, we will continue to struggle practicing the sadhana bhakti in the association of devotees. Like Parikshit Maharaj, he desired benediction from Lord Vishnu when he was passing away. He said, my Lord, he asked benediction from all the great sages. He said, my dear great sages, if you want to offer any benediction to me, then I ask for three things. Let there be complete attraction or attachment to Lord Krishna. Let there be association of devotees and compassion and friendliness to all the living entities. This is how one should judge every religionist. That what is the benchmark, what is the judging factor? That anyone could ask three benediction like this from the Lord, that means he's actually practicing religion. Otherwise, in the name of religion, he's simply expressing his own false ego. This is also, today also is a very special day. According to the English calendar, today is Radhanath Maharaj's appearance day. And it's but natural, and it is very important and pertinent for us to be grateful for his unlimited efforts to make this temple as it is today. And those who supported, in fact, the Shastra explains that the greatest sin one can perform is the sin of ingratitude, not being grateful. In the Mahabharata, the story is told by Bhishma Dev to Yudhishthira Maharaj that a person who was not grateful, he was killed by a demon, and even the worms were not willing to eat his body. They said, oh, this person is a person who is with ingratitude. He has no gratitude. So therefore, he is unfit to be consumed by us. We don't want to perform this sin. They are flesh eaters, but still they said, we don't want to eat this. So Bhishma Dev says that for every other sin, there is a prayaschitta. But for a sin of ingratitude, having no gratitude, there is no, you know, prayaschitta. Therefore, kritajnyata means to remember. Like Srinajipu was mentioning, we were just walking behind and he saw the garden, our Vrindavan garden. And he made a comment. He said, just imagine this place. He knows more than anybody else that place, because you know, he used to come here before any one of us ever came here. He said, that place was a garbage. Literally a garbage. We would see crows would be moving around. Pigeons would be moving around. So many rats. Big size rats. Even the dogs would be scared of such rats. They would be roaming around. Very dirty. And he said, just see how this has been transformed into Vrindavan forest. And he made a point. If this place can be transformed into Vrindavan forest, we can actually make this entire planet Earth into Vaikuntha. And that is what Prabhupada's philosophy is. And we can see this was, I remember one time Maharaj was giving lecture in our Mahaprabhu's place on the 25th anniversary of the program. And Maharaj mentioned this was a garage where you park car. That now garage has become Krishna's house. And he was talking about this place also. not physically only, this place was, you know, very scary. This was a football ground for our orphanage children. You know, football ground, cricket ground, and doing all kinds of things. But who would have ever imagined, you know, such a beautiful temple could be, without breaking anything, without stopping any program, that program continued. That's the most wonderful thing about this place. Hare Kirtan was going on, and the construction was also going on. If you see the pictures of 20 years back, everything is broken. One time Radha Krishna mentioned, maybe about 5-6 years back, he said, of this temple, except the ceiling, everything is changed. Now the ceiling is also changed. Huh? Everything is changed. So therefore, it's, and not only physically changing, the changing the character of devotees. No. I was fortunate to see so many devotees come. Of course, I also came. Seeing how they came, in what kind of, you know, background, and seeing the change was the most pleasing experience. Thick mustache, long hair, you know, eating tobacco, vulgar language, and becoming best of the Vaishnavas. Fashionable girls coming in their jeans pant, you know, becoming most chaste ladies. You know, all this was possible having wild brahmacharis, you know, almost like hooligans, rowdies, and now we are 130 brahmacharis. Hopefully they are good according to all of your estimation. And the responsible party, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, Srinathji Prabhu, like I was talking to someone, you know, you have a, Maharaj had a plan to make it nice, but Krishna Chandra Prabhu and Srinathji Prabhu were willing to buy that plan, willing to invest their money. So we are really grateful to these devotees, you know, like even for foundation of brahmachari preaching was held by the grihasthas only. Helping brahmacharis to be maintained was done by these wonderful devotees only. Giving place, Srinathji Prabhu, you know, his target was to expand this place. It was such a small place. I remember when we were doing program, the Tinkerbell children would come from this door. You know, they were doing their drama practice. And somebody would be doing yoga here. And this was the Bhola classes. This was my own coaching classes. So you are surrounded by so many students who are studying mundane subject matter. And the temple was here. And the orphanage was here. And there was no staying facility also. Maharaj would sleep in this temple hall, you know, having rats running around. But, you know, these devotees do a lot of endeavor. Like I was one time mentioning to the brahmacharis, you know, we have so many brahmacharis, but who was responsible? Mahaprabhu, he preached Sahadeva Prabhu. Sahadeva Prabhu made all his children devotees. And Satchitanand Prabhu, you know, he preached Devamrita Prabhu. And Devamrita Prabhu was responsible, you know, when he joined the ashram, he preached Gaurang Prabhu, preached Radhesham Prabhu. So the ashram did not start from the brahmacharis. It started from the householders. And then if we are in any other place, every brahmachari will have his briefcase as big as his locker to collect every day, 8 hours, 12 hours, 16 hours. That is the mantra only you can chant. But they took that responsibility also. Why? Because they are willing to stand for the vision which Maharaj had, willing to invest. So it is but proper, I would speak for hours discussing this, to glorifying these devotees headed by Maharaj for their great contribution. And if you are not grateful, and if you don't remember, and if you don't know the history, you know, it is explained that to glorify somebody and not glorify the real person is also a sin. We, as Maharaj always mentions, that you don't see the foundation, you only see the painting of the wall. But the wall is important, no doubt. But most important is the foundation. So these are the foundational devotees in our Radha Gopinath temple. And Maharaj inspired them. We thank you, Srinathji Prabhu, for your contribution. Krishna Chandra Prabhu is not here. Thank him also, Mahaprabhu and other devotees for, and all our devotees to maintain the sanctity of this place. No, keeping brahmacharis pure by their behavior. We thank all the Mataji also for their wonderful behavior, all the grahasthas for behaving nicely and giving us the opportunity to render service at the lotus feet of Shri Radha Gopinath in cooperation. So this will be our prayers to Shri Radha Gopinath, and this will be the best gift we can offer to Maharaj, that let this family of Radha Gopinath devotees expand in the same mood as it expanded in the beginning. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj ki. Nitai Gaur Premanande.